This evening's scripture is from Galatians 6, 14. Galatians 6, 14. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world.
Thank you, Christopher. We're glad you're back tonight, everybody. Well, I am. Just because somebody outwardly looks like they're probably a child of God doesn't mean they are. Outward can be very deceptive. The things that prove a Christian to be a Christian is the outward manifestation of an inward changed heart. And that's really what Paul is getting at here in this chapter. This verse by itself really doesn't make a whole lot of sense, other than the fact that as Christians, you and I, we cannot boast and say, we have done this ourselves. This was done for us. This was offered to us. And God is still working in and through us. So, in the lesson tonight about our cross examination, the cross is something worth boasting about because of what the cross did. So we want to basically look at just two simple things. And the first part actually comes from verses 12 and 13, where some people miss the message of the cross. They think it's just the outward manifestation of what man wants instead of what God wants. So we begin in Galatians 6, looking at verses 12 and 13. Those who want to make a good impression outwardly are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised obey the law, yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your flesh. So we know that there was a situation in the Lord's church very early on that is brought to a head at the Jerusalem conference in Acts chapter 15. It's not only talked about here in Galatians chapter 6, but it is also talked about in Galatians chapter 2, where even Titus, though he were a Gentile, was not compelled to be circumcised, because circumcision is not the issue, the physical outward circumcision. So a person that focuses on the outside is really missing the message. What if I have a disease on the inside? And I put band-aids on the outside. Am I really taking care of the situation? And by the way, I saw a good advertisement on television today done by Terry Bradshaw, which says, you just may need to get you a shingle virus because you have shingles on the inside of you if you had chicken pox. Well, I'm sure I had some of the biggest chicken pox you ever saw. So it's on the inside just waiting to bust out. Well, Christianity should be like that, except in a good way, not in a bad way. But these folks, again, had missed the message because they wanted to find something on the outside that would make people look like they were something that they really weren't. In Romans, the second chapter, Paul doesn't beat around the bush at all. He makes the point in trying to correct those people who were members of the Lord's church in Rome that obeying the law will not save you. I'm talking about the Mosaic Law. And also, now that we're Christians, if we just observe all of the man-made laws, that's not going to save us either. We must be obedient to the law of Christ. which is called the law of faith. So here we are in Romans chapter 2. We look at verses 25 through 29. Circumcision has value if you observe the Mosaic law. I know the word Mosaic is not there, but that's the meaning. But if you break the law, you have become as though you had not been circumcised. If those who are not circumcised keep the law's requirements, will they not be regarded as though they were circumcised? The one who is not circumcised physically and yet obeys the law will condemn you who, even though you have the written code and circumcision, are a lawbreaker. A man is not a Jew if he is only one outwardly. Nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a man is a Jew if he is one inwardly. And circumcision is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a man's praise is not from men, but from God. So what did he say? He said, those of you who know God understand this. One, the law cannot save you. Two, if you break the law, circumcision is of no value to you because it is though you have not been circumcised at all. So, are you a Christian outside? Or are you a Christian inside that makes its way to the outside? You see, it's that second part that we need. And that's the message that's missed today. I was talking, we had a young lady that was visiting from Maryland. She sat right back there behind Jim this morning. I think she had long hair, long blonde hair that went way down. And she was a veterinarian. She is here because her mother is in the care home just west of where Deanie works. I forget the name of the place, but she's in that care home. And she was telling me today that her mother is pretty hard-nosed in regard to what happened to her to become a Christian in the time that she was a little girl. She was sprinkled. Now, this young lady that was here this morning, she grew up outside of Christ. And fortunately, when she was at Manhattan at K-State University becoming a veterinarian, she studied with somebody at the Manhattan Church of Christ, and she was baptized into Christ, and so she understands that. So she was talking to her mother one day and talked about her baptism, and her mother says, but I was baptized when I was a baby. And she said, yes, mother, but you were only sprinkled. And she'll talk to you until you question her sprinkling, and then she becomes very adamant that she is a Christian and she was baptized and you can't tell her any different. I know some people like that. I know some stubborn people like that. This young lady was very thrilled to be a member of the church. I only wish that her sister and her brother and her mother, who are still alive, would be, but they're not. They are outward Christians in the sense that they have done what man told them to do outwardly, but they haven't done what God told them to do inwardly. Now, I only know that because she told me. That's what she said. And that is a sad thing, because when people listen to man, Jesus talked about that in Matthew the 15th chapter, verses 8 and 9. He said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. So the outward manifestation is not a real manifestation at all. The message of the cross is missed by people that say, oh, you don't need to be baptized. It's missed. It's missed by those that say, well, circumcision will take care of it. It's missed. Secondly, Paul is trying to get the Galatian churches to embrace the message, and if we would ever want to boast about something, It would be about Jesus. And when we boast about Christ, it is always boasting about the substitute. He substituted himself for me. We boast about that, but we also boast about that substitution that leads to our death. So we want to turn to Matthew 16 and verse 24. You've probably heard it so many times, you don't need to turn there. But Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. In Luke 6 and verse 46, a question is asked by Jesus. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? What is Jesus looking for? People that hear the message, Jesus is looking for obedience. He is looking for people to hear what Jesus said and follow through. So then, when I become a Christian, as Romans chapter 6 reminds me, starting at verse 3, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized, or all of you, all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him. When did that happen? Not at circumcision, not trying to keep the law, but in this context when we were baptized into Christ. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. So there's the real crux of the matter. The people that understand the message of Christ understand the substitute sacrifice of Jesus, that a death was necessary for us to be forgiven. In the book of Hebrews, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So the necessity of a substitute, of a sacrifice to take our place, was necessary. As Paul would write earlier in Galatians chapter 2, dropping down to verse 20, Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. So then, was Christ's death as a substitute necessary? And it leads to my death, but it leads to my life, because I'm dead, but I live because of Jesus. I'm living for his sake to carry on his will. In Galatians chapter 6, the passage that we began with tonight, having been buried with Christ in baptism, having been raised with Christ through my faith in the power of God that raised him from the dead, and now I live a life for Christ, because of all those things, I can say, I take pride in what Jesus did. I can boast about what Jesus did. I can't boast about what I've done, because the very best things that I have ever done are only a direct result of what Jesus has done. Someone said this morning, the couple that was from Minnesota, that Willis and Barbara sat with at the table in Minnesota or Wisconsin, it's somewhere up north, Wisconsin. They're headed south for the winter. I said, people do that? And they said, these people do that? But they said, that was a good lesson this morning. And I said, Willis could have done just as good, if not better. And I also said, none of the sermons that I have ever preached are original. If they are, they're not worth listening to. Because God already gave us the Bible. There's the original message. I just try to echo that message, and I may put it in a different way than other people. But I was really trying to say, thank you for the compliment, but God's using me. God's doing things. If anything good's coming through me, it's God, it's not me. Can I say that? And if anything good is coming through you, that's a Christian thing coming through you, it's God, it's not you. Although it's you allowing God to do it, and it's me allowing God to do it too. So in verse 14, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. So it gets down to this. In Romans chapter 5, starting at verse 6, you see at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's something worth boasting about, because it is the greatest form of love. The epistle that John wrote in 1 John chapter 3, you know, about if you really love somebody, how great is the love the Father's lavished on us earlier in the chapter that we should be called children of God, and that's what we are. But then he talks about later, if you as a child of God have the worldly possessions and you have goods and you see a brother that has need but do not take pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? So you see, if I boast about the cross, I say that if there's anything good about me, it's God that's done it. If there's anything that I have done to help serve, it's God that has done it, because God had him die for me, even while I was an enemy, even while I was unworthy, even no matter what I've done, I don't have anything to boast about. And at the end of the day, being a Christian, I still don't have anything to boast about except the cross of Jesus. Because you see, that's central. That will always be central to the church. If I ever get to the point where I think I have arrived and I'm the reason the church is growing, or I'm the reason that people are getting smarter, more intelligent, biblically-er, or getting more mature spiritually, if I think that's me, what an idiot. Because it's not me. Hopefully it's God in and through me, and the same for you. We've been talking about the cross, and I'm not sure if we're going to have any more lessons on this or not, but if we miss the cross, we miss everything. And those people in that day who were dealing with the Apostle Paul and those members at the church of Galatia who were being told, you Gentiles have to be circumcised. It's not the outward, it's the inward. And those people that say it's the outward miss the message, because the message is always destined for the heart of man. So here we are tonight. We can boast, but we can boast about Jesus. And that's the only boasting we can do. Because he fulfilled the prophets. He fulfilled the book of Psalms. He fulfilled the plan. His death fulfilled the needs of God to satisfy the substitute, to cover our sins. And so we just don't have anything to boast about except the cross. We're glad you're here tonight. And if you're here tonight, you're really glad you're here tonight, because it's time to offer the invitation song. And if you, as a child of God, need our help, we really do want to help each other get to heaven. We want, on the other side of this world, we want everybody that's here to be in heaven. Everybody. Even if you are an Oakland Raiders fan, we can love you in spite of that. Joe, you're not an Oakland Raiders fan. Say you're not. Thank you. But if we can assist somebody in becoming a Christian, confessing that you need Christ and being willing to be baptized into Christ to have your sins washed away, You see, then the substitution is applied to the heart and soul of the individual on the inside, and it will make its way out. If we can assist you, come while we stand and sing.